Okay, it is 5 minutes after. We will go ahead and Leanne, you are the co-chairperson, so ask you to unmute and to call the meeting to order.
Okay, I couldn't get the audio and sound both ways working out of my laptop, so I'm on my phone and on video. So I guess we are ready to call the meeting to order, and you start with introductions usually first, right?
Yes, could we first could whoever is in the 454-615-454 on the telephone 7847 identify themselves? How about 615-852-9686?
That's me.
Oh,
That's
okay.
Leanne.
Great. Okay. And then could you identify which what organization you're with, Diana Johnson?
Good afternoon. I'm with Gallagher Bassett.
Thank you. Jennifer Guffey.
Good afternoon. I'm with Sedgwick.
Okay. Larry Marks. Bill Mathis.
Hi there. I'm with Vanderbilt.
Faith Parrish. Okay.
Vanderbilt, sorry.
Okay. Next order of business.
Do we have a quorum? Do we have everyone we need on?
I'll call the roll. Dr. Mary Yarborough?
Here.
Mr. Will Cromer?
Present.
Ms. Leanne Lewis?
I'm here.
Ms. Roxanne Brown?
I'm here.
Dr. Roy Johnson?
I'm present.
Ms. Marcia Wood?
I'm present.
And Dr. Robert Snyder?
Present.
We definitely have a quorum. We've got a unanimous quorum.
Okay, great. Great. So the next item on our agenda is approving minutes from our December 6th meeting. And I'm looking for a motion to approve those minutes, unless anyone has questions.
Make a motion to approve.
This is Roxanne,
Mary.
I second.
Okay. Motion has passed. I think we're up to date on conflict of interest forms. That's on the list, but I thought I read that they're all turned in.
That is correct. Thank you, Leanne. This is
Okay.
Susie.
Great. Okay. Then our next topic on the list, old business, and that starts with our case reviews. For Dr.
All these cases are the cases from 2022. We have started processing cases from 2023, but have not completed the analysis on those. So these are all completions of 2022 cases. Case 65. St. Francis through Conifer Health versus National Casualty. There was no redacted version and incomplete information sent. A notice was sent to them, and that 3 month time limit will expire on March the 6th, at which time, from the previous meeting, then we will notify St. Francis through Conifer that the case is dismissed. And I'll ask Troy or Amanda to tell whether or not the case is closed or the case is dismissed when we send that letter. Next case, 69. This was again incomplete redaction. The 3 month limit will expire on March the 6th, and we will send the same letter. Case 71, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Employers Health, that had to do with x-rays and splints and sustained an elbow fracture. We received a notification from the defense attorney that she's still working on the payment, although it has been agreed to pay. We have not been notified by Chattanooga Orthopedics that the actual payment has been received. The next one is case 78, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus Zenith, where an injection was not paid. The billed amount was $591, the paid amount $149. What was expected was $346. And the documentation then was reviewed by Anna. Do you want to review that one, Anna? You're on mute.
Yeah, got it. Thanks. on this one, the review company denied 99204 and J1040. They said that the 99204 was not a separately identifiable E&M service and that the J1040 was included in the injection procedure. The 99204 was supported since this was the first time the doctor had seen this patient. He did a history and physical, reviewed a CT scan, and referred the patient to physical therapy. However, the correct level of E&M would have been 99203 since the documentation supports a visit of low complexity, minimal data, and moderate risk. And as for the injectant, the fee schedule does not bundle injected medications with the procedure codes. So J1040 is separately payable. Additional payment for 99203 and J1040 is recommended in the amount of $151.34, less any contractual allowances. I apologize. I'm losing my voice, so sorry. I hope you can understand me.
I think we have a relatively short list today, so hopefully you don't have to
yeah, not
voice too much today. Does anyone in the group have questions about that summary? Then if not, do we have a motion?
This is Roxanne. I make the motion to accept the recommendation.
This is Mary. I'll second.
Okay. Anyone opposed? No? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Okay. So that passes as recommended.
Okay. Case 82, VUMC versus Creative Splashlight. Burn treatment with a per diem and stop loss and implants were underpaid. Anna, you have an analysis on this one.
This one, the patient was treated for during a 16-day admission for burns. All criteria was met for payment as a trauma admission. The trauma maximum daily rate is $4,725. And this does exceed the stop loss amount of $31,500 when you remove the implants. So it does qualify for stop loss payment. The total fee schedule payment is $217,656.39. And the provider is due an additional $69,160.62, less any contractual allowances.
And do we have any questions from the group about that one?
No, this is Mary. I'll abstain on this one.
This is Roxanne. This is Roxanne. I make the motion to accept the recommendation.
Do we have a second?
This is Will. I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
The motion passes. So on to 86.
86 is another St. Francis Conifer case where the deadline is coming up on March the 6th, and the same letter will be sent. Case 87 was closed because of untimely submission. Case 88 was closed because of an untimely submission. Case 89, again, was incomplete information, and the initial warning letter was sent so that the date of that 3-month time lapse will occur also on March the 6th. So case 92, Chattanooga Orthopedics versus CBCS, the payment for multiple surgery codes was denied. And Anna had a review on this one.
On this one, the provider saying they were not paid according to the fee schedule for an orthopedic surgeon, and per the fee schedule, orthopedic surgeons should be paid at 275% of the Medicare payment. The provider is verified to be to have a board certification in orthopedic surgery. So 64890 and 64831, less the multiple procedure reduction, are payable at 275% of the Medicare amount, which comes to $2,383.97. And so the provider is due additional payment of $1,258.22, less any contractual allowances.
Okay. Any questions? And if not, then we're looking for a motion on this one.
This is Mary. I'll make a motion. We accept.
It's Mark saying I second.
All in favor for that?
Aye.
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 Okay, the motion passes.
Case 93, Ortho Tennessee versus Sedgwick. This was a denied injection code. The insurer software apparently seemed to have a problem, and the J code payment was due. This was actually in the EOB that there was a software problem in the response. So additional payment due of $64.08, less any contractual discounts.
This is Roxanne. I'm going to recuse myself on this one.
And do we have any questions from anyone on this one? If no, then is there a motion?
This is Mary. I'll make a motion.
Okay, I can probably do that as well.
This is Marsha.
Do we have a second? Okay.
Yeah, it's
all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, that one passes as recommended. And now we're on to 94.
Okay, 94 and 95 were paid. We were notified just last week after we sent this out, which kind of made me mad that they'd actually paid it, because I wanted to send these two to penalty. But this was another example of missed appointment charges that were mischaracterized as that there's no provision in the fee schedule for missed appointments. So both of those were closed. Case 96 is St. Francis versus Travelers. Again, this was an incomplete redaction. This case, however, was just recently received, and so it was received after we had sent the warning letters on the other ones, and so I bring this to the committee so that the committee can advise us that we may send the warning letter for the redaction based upon the date of this meeting.
So just to make sure I'm clear, we'll be sending them a letter saying they have more time, or they've already exceeded
right.
time?
No, that they have from the date of this committee meeting 3 months in which to fulfill the proper submission to the committee.
Okay. All right. So do we have a motion from the group to send that letter to let them know they have more time to send in documentation?
I move. This is Roy.
This is Roxanne. I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. That one passes. Then on to 97.
This case was administratively closed. 98 was Skyline versus Liberty Mutual. And this one, Anna has a review.
On this one, the provider performed an open repair of a non-union of the right tibia and did bill with the correct code, which is 27724. The reviewer denied that code and instead recommended payment to 20902 in the amount of $9,211.76. Under the APC payment system, 27724 is considered an inpatient-only procedure and is not paid by Medicare when performed in the outpatient setting. However, the Tennessee fee schedule states that status indicator C procedures, which are inpatient-only procedures, are paid at 80% of billed charges, 80% of the billed amount of $22,626.96 is $18,101.57. No separate payment is recommended for 20902 or 76000, since these services are packaged into the comprehensive payment for 27724. Additional payment in the amount of $8,889.81 is recommended, less any contractual allowances.
Do we have any questions from the group on this one? No? Okay, then do we have a motion to accept the recommendation?
This is Roxanne. So move.
A second. This is Mary.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Recommendation passes. Case
99, St. Francis versus Hartford. This was administratively closed because it was an untimely submission for dates of service prior to the date of submission. And so thanks to all the committee, and thanks to Anna for her work, and thanks to Susie for going through 100 cases during or 99 cases during the course of 2022. And those are only the ones that came to the committee and not the other 30 to 40 that Susie's resolved before they come to the committee. Thank you, Susie. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, everyone. And the next item on the agenda I see is something about the fee schedule, medical fee schedule.
So we checked with the Attorney General's office on the fee schedule. They are working on those rules. Hopefully soon, then we will have the revisions from the Attorney General's office. And once those are sent to us, then we can proceed then with scheduling the effective date and also the date for the Government Operations Committee. So knock on wood that they're going to continue to try to get that done soon.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, I have just one thing that wasn't included, which is a COVID update. There's been very little COVID activity with changes in the numbers since our last meeting. Of the 52 fatalities that have been reported to the Bureau, 15 of the fatalities were accepted, and the payments made to the estates of the deceased. 36 of them have been denied and not appealed. There is one death case that is scheduled for a hearing in April, and there is only one other case pending before the courts where an employee alleges a reaction to the COVID vaccine. So those are the only two active cases that we have presently in the Court of Workers' Compensation after over 14,000 first reports of injury since 2020. There were 12 other cases that went before the court that were actually dismissed, either due to settlement or for lack of activity or lack of proof. So it is interesting that in spite of a very large number of claims, that there's very little action within the court, the courts concerning disputed claims. So that's all I had on the COVID.
Okay, thanks for that update. I don't see anything noted under new business or announcements. So just checking to see if there's any last minute anything we need to cover. Nope.
Second meeting dates, August 15th or August 22nd. Is there any committee members that have a preference?
This is Roxanne, the 22nd, because the 15th is my birthday.
Oh, okay. So do you get a birthday holiday or a birthday
vacation
day? Well,
I'm going to take a birthday holiday.
That's great. The 22nd is fine with me.
Yeah, 22nd is good for me.
Me too.
It's good for me also.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, great. So our next meeting is May the 9th. Let us know if there's any conflicts that arise. And the other thing before I turn it back over to Leanne is I want to wish everybody a very happy Valentine's Day. And we'll make it a short meeting as your Valentine's gift from us. Thank you, Mary.
Love it, Mary.
Thank you.
That's cute.
Thank you, Dr. Cute. Snyder.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I make the motion. Roxanne.
I'll second. Mary.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
We appreciate all your work and all your attention.